Hey guys, before we get started with Laura Sanko, this is Dave Van Auken on the Fight Benaz podcast. Guys, let's thank people who support the podcast. I'm talking about Fusion CBD products. Hey guys, go to FusionCBDProducts.com and pick up your six pack of Fusion water. Guys, I drink two bottles every single day. It is absolutely mind-blowing, changing, life-altering. Guys, go to Fusion CBD Products right now and pick up your six-pack of Fusion CBD water. Also, N-Still Nutrition. Check out N-Still Nutrition at nstillnutrition.com. Also, I take the joint issue every single day, 35 in my prime and only getting better. Guys, check out nstillnutrition.com. Also, Warhammer Fightwear. I wear the gear, some of the best gear in all of mixed martial arts. They got stuff for the ladies, the kids, and of course, us men. Check out that dry fit tee, guys. I wear it. WarhammerFightwear.com. Also, hit them up on the Amazon app. That's Warhammer Fightwear. All right, guys, let's go bananas with Laura Sanko. All right, guys, back on the Fight Bananas podcast. Thank you so much. Laura Sanko, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida at the Hyatt Riverfront and love and life, man. It's been a crazy week already. It's going to get crazier tomorrow and the following Saturday.
I know. We're just right in the middle of it. It's so great. Before we go all into UFC 249, Jacksonville, all that stuff, first of all, personal question. Here we go. Off the bat. I saw you running today on social media, all your platforms. Everyone give Laura Sanko a follow for sure. Do you find it easier to work out and train on the road or at home?
Normally, I find it way, way easier to work out at home because I've kind of situated my life where, other than homeschooling, that got a little tricky. But normally, we have an amazing nanny who's like a part of our family. So I'm always sure to carve out a big chunk of the day where I can work out, get my research done, all that type of stuff. So when I go on the road, it almost feels like, and inevitably, it's usually they fly me in kind of last minute and I'm leaving as soon as I'm done with my work. So there's always so much to do and things changing and all that. Right. So this is the trip where I've actually been good about it. So don't get it twisted that I'm always that good about it.
No, absolutely. And you're right. It's always so busy. So much stuff comes up. And of course, more than anyone, a lot of stuff on the fly. You never know if this interview comes up or this person, something happens. Yeah. The Jacare thing happened over the weekend and stuff popped off. So you just really never know. Okay, well, let's get into that. How is everything in Jacksonville, Florida for UFC right now? How is it? You were telling us about, you know, how the hotel is and how serious it is. And, you know, you're there. You're on the ground. So how is it right now in Jacksonville, Florida?
You know, it's great, honestly. It's definitely different. It's definitely a little weird. I've been kind of describing, I've talked to some other people today, and I would describe it as, you'll have these moments where things feel normal and like the restaurants here in the hotel are open, although they're seating sort of far apart and that type of thing. But you're sitting at a restaurant with your friends and you're eating a meal, and that part kind of, it's like, oh, this feels so good. This feels very normal. And then I don't have a good example, but you know, the waiter comes over wearing a mask. You're like, well, that's different.
Right.
So there's certainly, it's like pockets of normalcy inside a very weird situation altogether. But the energy is that I think people are just really, really excited and really proud to be here. Really, really proud that we're pulling it off. We're getting this done. And we had some amazing fights on Saturday.
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy you said that. I had like a list. I just actually threw out a really hot take video on our Instagram and Fight Bananas and stuff. I actually had another one as well. And we talked last time, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And we kind of talked about how the MMA media or even media in general were a little negative, a little slighted towards UFC a little bit, right? Dana White goes live. You know, it was right after Jeremy Stephens and Calvin Kattar. Insane knockout. Calvin, a legit problem in the 145-pound division. And he walks backstage, and he sees both of them. Jeremy Stephens just got knocked out, had to be heartbroken. I've been in those rooms after fighters lose, right? And life-altering. Yeah. It's horrible. You know, you really feel for him. They put so much effort in it. And both men were so appreciative of Dana White. Both men shook Dana White's hand, was so thankful. Thank you for the opportunity. I love the matchup. Thank you for all this. It was like mind blowing. I'm like, guys, if we could just relax a little bit. And,
yeah.
You know, if you live in Indiana and you're complaining about it, these men and women are fighting all across our great country, all across the world, coming here to Jacksonville, Florida, in a fist fight, in a cage, and they're thankful to Dana White. Like,
yeah.
If this isn't proof, I don't know what is. And it really blew my mind. When you said that, that popped at me. I thought it was great. It was just so cool how the fighters are so thankful, and people that are working, like yourself, is like, guys, I'm getting paid to do what I love to do now. It's incredible.
Yeah. No one is not happy to be here. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
I mean, everyone, we're almost having to, like, especially because, you know, there's a lot of people you haven't seen in a while, and fighters and teams and staff and such. And I, at least, I'm a very affectionate person. So I keep kind of having to, like, check my gut reaction to, like, oh, you know, run up and hug someone. Like, you know, okay, I'll save that for another time. But the energy is there, right? Like, everyone is excited and happy to be here. And the card completely lived up to what we all wanted and hoped it would be. And I have no doubt that tomorrow is going to be the same way.
Absolutely. One last thing before we talk about the card, and we can bring up a couple highlights. Of course, we might mention Justin Gaethje. I don't know if you heard of him. He had a little big weekend. And of course, we'll talk about tomorrow night's card. I love it. Glover and Anthony Smith. Glover's been on the show. Big fan. You know, met him numerous times. One of probably the nicest guys in all of MMA. I don't know if you have that same feeling. Love me some Glover Teixeira. But last thing is Jacare Souza. Even trains here in Orlando, Florida. I know a lot of his training partners and all of that nature. When he tested positive, of course, same kind of thing with the media. I love what Dana White said right away. He goes, guys, it's working. The test is working. What we're doing, everything that we put in front to try to continue the mixed martial arts world, the UFC world, is working. This is I took it as a positive. I feel horrible for Jacare, but I took it as a positive.
Yeah. In terms of the system doing what the system needed to do, I absolutely took it as a positive. I didn't want it to happen to Jacare. I definitely didn't want it to happen to Hall.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I was heartbroken for Uriah. But as a system, what happened is exactly what was supposed to happen. You can't test over 1,000 people and not expect that someone in this disease that we know is largely asymptomatic, this terrifying virus that most people don't know that they have, you know, someone is going to have been exposed to it. And the great thing about what they're doing is the antibody test is immediate. You get your results back in 10 minutes, and it flags for two different types of antibodies. So you know right away whether you're in line A or line B, you know, like, and if you flag, you're quarantining, you're not coming in contact with other people, you're absolutely wearing your mask and, you know, all of the things. And then when that 24-hour true nose swab test comes back, then we'll decide, you know, how we move forward. The procedures that they put in place worked.
Right.
And I'm not someone who is super terrified about this virus in general. Part of that is a result of where I live, right? If I lived in New York City, I might be singing a very different tune right now. But where I am from, I am not experiencing the same thing that my friends in New York are. So I will put that out there. But if I was concerned, this is the place I would want to be. Everyone here has been tested. So I feel great. And that, frankly, it makes it hard not to hug people, because I'm like, well, I know you're negative.
Yeah.
We know I'm negative.
Yeah.
That guy over there is negative. Like, can I hug you, please?
We're good. We're good. Yeah. Gaethje, give me a hug. Your performance was amazing. Yeah. Let's go. So, all right, let's talk about it. Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, main event, interim lightweight championship. I'm not that bragging type, but earlier that day, I finally called it. I said, hey, I'm going all in. Gaethje, I think we talked about it too. I thought Gaethje was going to win, and I kind of told a couple people afterwards why, and I actually just had a good podcast with American Top Team coach Ryan Quinn, and he's like, Dave, that's pretty good, pretty spot on. I thought Tony Ferguson was on a 2-month emotional roller coaster. There's only so many times when you're going to fight the Khabib fight. That's, you know, the dream fight of the UFC. Take it off. Is he going to come back from Russia? Is he not? Is the fight on? Is it not? Okay, we're going to fight Gaethje at this date. Nope, not at this date. We're going to fight him in California. This was and then he made weight a couple weeks ago. And more and more, and hey, they fight again 10 weeks from now. We'll see. And I hope Ferguson is healthy and actually takes a lot of time off, to be honest. But just going back to that, Gaethje was this underdog, me against the world. I'm zoned in with Tony Ferguson because that's all he was going to probably fight in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I just thought momentum and where you're head at mentality-wise is humongous for UFC fighters, especially at that level. So I love Gaethje going in that fight and what he did. He even blew me away. One of the best performances I've ever seen. Just a huge fan of what happened. And, I would love your take, what you thought of Gaethje's performance.
I thought it was incredible. And I think the thing that really stuck out to me, and I tweeted this out earlier, is that it really opened my eyes to my, and maybe it was accurate before, but it opened my eyes to what my assessment needs to be of him moving forward whenever I talk about him. Because normally when I talk about Justin Gaethje, the first word that comes out of my mouth is, oh my God, he's wild. He's so wild. You know, he's willing to stand in the pocket, right, and he has no fear and no hesitation. He stands in danger and he trades. He's not worried about getting knocked out. His mindset is still wild. But what makes him so dangerous now,
yes,
is that he has become calculating within the wild, which, God, Katie bar the door now, right? When you say someone is wild, whether you mean to or not, you're subtly implying that they have a lack of technique or maybe a lack of fight IQ, a lack of sophistication in striking. And I don't know that was ever fully a fair assessment of him, but he was pretty wild earlier, right? Maybe accurate.
You're nailing
moving
it.
Forward, absolutely not. I have got to find a different adjective to describe what he is, because
I got one for you. I got one for you. I'll let you borrow it. You can use it on ESPN and UFC Fight Pass. How about controlled chaos?
Yes, I love it.
Not bad, right?
I love it.
Not bad.
And he's and that's like his happy place,
right?
He loves living there, right? Go ahead.
No, Maze, I was just going to say, how great was it in between rounds hearing what he was going to
say? I was just going to say that. That was literally what I was just going to say. How great was it watching him on the stool? And he's just like, yeah, this is awesome. And Trevor, this is why that performance was so special, because that victory belongs to both him and Trevor Whitman. Trevor's sitting there saying, listen, you need to stay focused. You need to stay in this fight. You know, he was rarely... do you hear a corner saying, you need to settle down. You need to take 10% off those punches. You need to have less fun. You need to, all these things that normally people need to be like coaxed into doing. It's like, I ride horses and, competitively, and most horses, they need a lot of, at least the ones I don't need a lot of encouragement. Let's get going. Let's do this. And there's always that one horse where you're constantly just like, chill out. You know what I mean? Chill out. Justin Gaethje is a weird analogy, but
my analogy, I always do bring it back to my family and all the kids. One kid spills something, one kid's crying, one kid wants to watch Disney Plus. Instead of running around like a chicken, it's just, okay, I'm going to take care of one. I'm going to take care of the second one. Control chaos. Just let it, do what you got to do. You nailed it. It's probably out of all UFC and MMA, the coaching and I think training partners and gyms are probably underrated and not talked about enough. I think that's, maybe the next year, two, three, maybe with this Trevor performance, maybe it will go that way. Just in anything. We talk about how great Brady is, and is he going to be great as a buck next year? But without Belichick, it's always talked about. The Last Dance with Jordan, he never really won until Phil Jackson came with coaching. So it's... UFC, we're the next generation. I can't wait where the sport's going in the next 1, 2, 3, 5, 15 years. So I think coaching's going to be a huge aspect going forward now, UFC.
And don't forget that he also, coaches Rose, who at the time, no one thought that she was going to knock Joanna out. And a lot of people didn't think that she could beat her twice.
Right.
But to knock her out and then to pick her apart and do what she did, in the long haul. Again, that just really speaks to him as a coach. But I think, too, one thing that – and Justin and I talked about this after the fight, his athleticism is so underrated. I think
– right.
I don't know if it's because he's kind of just this regular looking – I mean, he's not when he's out there, right? He's ripped up. But, you put a scene with clothes on, he's a cool guy, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't look intimidating. But his ability to keep within himself, right? There was a 6.5 reach disadvantage that he was facing in this fight. And he had no problem closing the distance. He had no problem fighting Tony Ferguson, who is awkward to fight. He fights on the offbeat. He doesn't do what you're supposed to do. Everything Tony does is wrong, but it's not wrong when Tony does it, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
But Justin is so fundamentally sound in his body and keeping his hips under him and keeping his feet sound and being exactly where he needs to be. The thing that stuck out to me, and I'd have to go back and really watch his fights to see if this is something that he's always had and I'm just now noticing it, but his head movement is so so impressive, because it's not just he's capable of the small slips and whatnot. He's also capable of, it's very hard to do, the sort of Tyson-esque, like, I am moving, I'm going to plant my feet so I have power, but I'm moving my entire torso out of the way.
Right.
I'm rolling under and firing as I'm setting up. My defense is setting up my offense,
yes.
And my offense is setting up my defense,
yes.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, pivots and counters, and if Tony's, we all know Tony's throwing, and Tony's coming after him, and we always said if someone went back at Tony, and as soon as Tony missed and threw two or three, Gaethje was throwing his 1 or 2, 3, and that's what was the little bit of the difference of the fight. I loved it. We could literally just talk about this for hours. I want to throw something out there. We talked, and a lot of podcasts and a lot of shows, they just go down the fights and break down, and hey, let's talk about the stoppage early, and we can, but I love kind of bringing stuff out of left field. I love your mind, love your mixed martial arts mind. I would love to get your take on this. Is one thing I noticed, so a huge, big UFC 249, main card, pay-per-view, a lot of different people saw that were not middle-class, UFC fans. And one thing I loved is that Gaethje, normal-looking guy, Caucasian-American guy. Mm-hmm. We had co-main event Henry Cejudo, different descent, gold medalist, Francis Ngannou, mm-hmm. born in another country, one of the scariest, biggest human beings in sports history.
Yeah.
Cater from the Northeast, a different, mm-hmm. And then, of course, Greg
Rosenstroy.
Yes. Yeah. And Greg Hardy from football, from athletic, from Ole Miss, all this. And I was like, guys, I just feel like the UFC out of any other sport, and I might be wrong, maybe I'm a homer, I love the where people are coming from, and you can be any type, man or woman, any size, any country. You can start Henry Cejudo from 4 years old learning how to wrestle, or you can start Ngannou was super late. And I just loved the different faces of the winners of UFC 249. I think that hopefully will connect to a lot of different people, and a lot more fans will come in. And throwing that out there, I don't know if you thought about that or thought about this for the first time. I just love the different takes and regions from the fighters are coming from.
Yeah, the sport as a whole is so diverse like that. I personally, of course, love that it's so rare that the men and women are put on the same platform at the same time.
Right.
There are often different leagues or, different side-by-side tournaments, but rarely are they so closely intertwined. So I love that diversity aspect of it as well. And you're right. I mean, people who you would never expect to be a fighter can be amazing fighters. People who, like Francis Ngannou, who definitely look intimidating,
yes.
are in fact very intimidating.
Yes.
They are scary as hell.
Yes.
So yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny because people are like, why isn't MMA in the Olympics? I'm like, every UFC fight is the MMA Olympics.
Right.
Why would we need that? I mean, part of me wants to, like, I love the Olympics, and I think the sport that I love should be, but then I'm like, it's kind of pointless because the UFC is the MMA Olympics.
Right. It's the pinnacle. And if there was Olympics, it would take probably away, definitely from the UFC, because a lot of fighters
yeah.
would go. And
injuries.
Yeah.
We don't need to go there.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's
put a bow on UFC 249. Throw out one last name, one last performance, something that, you're there, you're watching, you're like, oh my goodness, Dave, like, this was incredible. This,
yeah.
was something different in the building that maybe we didn't feel at home.
Certainly there were a lot. Francis Ngannou looked amazing. Calvin Kattar looked awesome.
Yes.
You don't really see... I mean, it's not unheard of, but you don't see – a lot of times you see elbows in the clinch. He threw that elbow from distance. He threw it like a right hand, and I think that's part of the reason why it connected so flush.
Right.
That was amazing. But the one that, like, I'm fully on the Bryce Mitchell train. Yes. I love that kid. I love that kid so much.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a Missouri, Arkansas thing. We're kind of two of the same kind a little bit. I love that kid. What you have to understand in the context of his win is how good Charles Rosa is on the ground.
Yes.
And if you don't Black know belt. That, you'd be like, oh, that was cool. He dominated a guy who's probably a striker. No.
Yeah.
That was brown belt versus black belt, and the brown belt beat the brakes off of the black belt. It was amazing.
Yeah, and little inside scoop, and I will never tell the name. I know someone who rolls with Charles Rosa on a daily, weekly basis, and after the fight, they felt a little deflated. They're like, wow, what yeah. Rosa does to me in practice kind of is what Mitchell just did to Rosa. And he goes, yeah. Now I know a whole nother level. There's a whole nother level of MMA grappling out there. And I heard another podcast too. Our friend TJ DeSantis was saying guys, Mitchell should have submitted them. He had him in the arm triangle. He had him on this. And TJ was like, guys, I have more respect for Bryce Mitchell and Rosa. No one understands how great Rosa is on the ground. And a common man would have tapped out. Yeah.
100%.
98% of the UFC would have tapped out in a couple of those spots. But not Rosa, and Mitchell just kept on going and rotating and moving. His trajectory is like this.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that was a showcase performance for Bryce Mitchell, but definitely kudos do need to be paid to Charles Rosa for defending all of that stuff.
Right.
Because that is also some very high-level stuff there. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Right, back to football again. The Patriots won the Super Bowl against the Rams a couple years ago, and Brady won and all that. But the defense, I think the Rams only scored 3 points, and no one talks about the Patriots' defense. So sometimes defense wins championships as well. Wow, UFC 249, amazing. But let's talk about it tomorrow night. My good friend Glover Teixeira, main event, Anthony Lionheart-Smith. Oh, there's a couple other sneaky fights and fighters on the card as well. Before we hit on a couple fights that you want to talk about, I would love for you and bring up the topic of UFC events during the week. I'm a huge advocate of it. I love it. I think, NBA does it. The Thursday night football games are super successful on Fox. I think it's something maybe the UFC should try to do, maybe once a month, just a different feel. Even Wednesdays, I love it. Once a month on a Wednesday, give us a card, ESPN Plus, let's roll.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are probably metric reasons that happens, but maybe it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Where, we just assume people only want to watch fights on Saturday night. So that's where we put them. And again, sort of a chicken and egg type thing. I love fights in the middle of the week because Contender is near and dear to my heart, yes. Right? It's not a full UFC card, but that's what's kind of fun about that one is you can get a lunch size portion. I say that because it's 4 or 5 fights. On a Tuesday night, and it makes for, it's not a 7-hour, night, evening type thing. It's sometimes it's only 2 hours long and action packed. So I agree with you. I would be up for it, but, I can only imagine there's probably a lot of thought that goes into why they're being done the way they are. And maybe even contractually with ESPN or ESPN Plus. I'm not privy to that level of discussion.
Definitely. And I just think going forward, content is king. We try to churn out a lot of content here at Fight Banana. So I think it's just one of those things. Laura Sanko, I know you're super, super busy. We appreciate your time so much. Let's hit on a couple last things. Fight night, Wednesday night. Is there a fight or a fighter you're like, oh, I cannot wait to see this in the Octagon in Jacksonville?
Well, I'm obviously very excited about the main event. I'm close buddies with Anthony Smith. I love Glover Teixeira. I think that's a really interesting matchup. I think Anthony has probably, I might even go out on a limb and say, the most underrated jiu-jitsu in the UFC, at least by the casual fan. He is phenomenal on the ground. Not a lot of people are aware that he's a black belt, that he is. And I think probably part of that is he trains part-time at Glory MMA and Fitness, obviously trains at Factory X with Mark Montoya as well, but we're all kind of interrelated gyms. He's a Midwest guy, so I see him a lot.
Right, right.
He's good. Telling you, he's really good. And I mean, I've just go watch the Gustafson fight, right? So and the only reason I'm saying that is because we all know that Glover Teixeira is excellent on the ground and can bang as well. So I think that is a really, really interesting matchup. But the one, and you might laugh at me because I've heard a lot of people be really critical of this matchup and they're like, this is dumb. This is circus. I'm kind of intrigued by Ben Rothwell OSP.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I don't hate it.
No. I don't hate it.
Love it, love it.
Not expected.
Right.
When I saw that, I was like, really? But then
I thought UFC did a typo, right? I'm like, wait a second, yeah. OSP heavyweight, something's not right. I'm like, okay, in the quarantine, I'm on that ice cream and English muffin diet, so maybe OSP was on the same, and you know, he had to go up. But no, well, hit on it. Yeah,
he looked good this morning.
Okay,
at weigh-ins, he looked really good, and he weighed in at 240, and he looked like thick, but he was still cut up. I mean, he did not look like he was carrying extra flab. To me, the way he looked, I went, oh my gosh, how much water has he been cutting in the past to make 205? And I kind of was like, man, because, you know, sometimes people say he's a little chinny and can be critical of him in that way. And I thought, you know what? I wonder if a fully hydrated OSP is going to be in this division. But Ben Rothwell walks up and you're like, that is an even bigger human being. That is a ginormous human being. So I'm fascinated to see if Ovince can get Ben Rothwell down. I can only imagine that's going to be where he wants this fight to take place. Take him down and be on top and hopefully get maybe another Von Prue. But I'm intrigued about that fight. I like it.
I love that fight. And before I talk about probably my highlight fight of the card is, you mentioned water. So I would love, you know, I like to maybe drink HRW water. And maybe you would want to tell the people about that.
Absolutely. So I recently got connected with a company called Drink HRW. And they make a product called Rejuvenation. And I'll honest to God, truth. To me, it sounded like pseudoscience BS when I was like, oh, we're going to put hydrogen in our water. Interesting. And then I took a second to kind of see who was using it. And I talked to some people who were using it. James Krause uses it. And then I finally did a little bit of research on the company and then talked to the people that invented the technology. It's not just because this technology is actually used other places. I could go on and on. And then I finally started using it and I've been using it consistently in terms of a pre-workout. I love it there. I really find a lot of benefits from the bath soak, actually. And maybe that's because I'm not the elite athlete that I once was. And so anytime I think I'm an elite athlete and I go for a really long run, I'm super sore and I need that soak. But so I had no idea that it is a phenomenal hangover prevention. I did not know that, but I gave it a try.
That's the moneymaker line right there. That's the moneymaker line. You know, a couple mimosas and HRW water, and you're back to normal. You know,
100%. I'm telling you, I'm not big. Like, I'm really not big on doing testimonial videos. I don't always feel comfortable just openly plugging products. It's kind of not my style. But every product that I do work with and I rep on my social media platforms is right. Genuinely a product that I use on a consistent, if not daily basis.
Right.
So that one was easy for me to make because it was just like, yeah, I tried it. I drank a little bit too much because I haven't drank in months and months and I'm seeing friends I haven't seen in a while. Popped a couple of those tabs and normally I'm wrecked the next day after I misbehave, but it was great.
Very cool.
Fingers crossed, moving forward, no more hangovers ever.
There you go. Drink HRW. There you go. Last thing, we're going to let you run. So happy. Laura, we'll let you know, hey, we're going to give you your own show. You know, you're going to take over Fightin' As. We'll love it.
Why not? I'm in.
Chase Sherman, back in the UFC multiple time. I was there all three of his Island Fight fights, all first round finishes. I'm so happy for him, and we just had him on the podcast probably around 3 days ago, and, you know, I knew him. I know a lot of people close to him, but he, like, threw out this unbelievable testimony of, like, what his comeback story, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I had no idea everything that he lost. Yeah. It's incredible when you hear these personal stories, and if anyone listens to the Chase Sherman podcast, it's like, how can you not root for this man? So I cannot wait. So excited for him. Absolute goal. We know how hard it is to make it into the UFC, to make it back into the UFC twice. It's almost impossible. Chase Sherman did it, and he's going to war tomorrow night in the heavyweight division versus Ike Villanueva. So cannot wait for that fight. Cannot wait.
Oh, that's gonna be a banger. That's gonna be a good one for sure. I can't wait to see that one too.
Chase Sherman leg kicks. Watch out for those. You heard it here first.
For sure.
You heard it here
first. All right. I'll use it.
Laura Sanko, thank you so much. Anytime. Welcome. Hopefully, it's going to be a great card. We can't wait to watch you. ESPN Plus, Wednesday night, Fight Night, Glover Teixeira and Anthony Lionheart Smith. Have a good day, Laura. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. These fights are going to be bananas.
You heard it. Later, Laura. Thanks. There you go, guys. It does not get better than that. The inside scoop, the stories from Laura Sanko. Foots are literally on the ground there in Jacksonville, Florida. And just her story about OSP, just seeing him weigh-ins and how he looks and everything, and just being in Jacksonville for UFC 249 was insane. The people on the streets, they say it's bananas. So Laura Sanko back on the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. This is Dave Van Auken. Man, we appreciate you guys. Keep on downloading iHeartRadio. We love them so much. They're so good to us. All podcast platforms, of course, Apple Podcasts, everything else. And subscribe to our Fight Bananas YouTube channel. Guys, we're just getting going. Here we go. Laura Sanko, thank you. This is Dave Van Auken. We're signing off on the Fight Bananas Podcast.